My Father, my God, I thank you so much for today. Lord, I don't take this privilege for granted, but I humble myself. I strip myself of every confidence that I might yet have in my knowledge in preparing or in past experience in sharing your word. I place all of my confidence in your mercy to be faithful. Grace, Lord, in sufficient measure and the help of Holy Spirit, I duck under the covering of my spiritual fathers. As I minister today, you help me to minister faithfully as an oracle of God. Our word will go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of Holy Spirit. Do an internal and eternal work in the hearts and lives, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlightened with revelation, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the word of the Spirit. As the word goes forth, let it go forth in power. Let it deliver people today. Lord, let it break yokes in our life. Help us, Lord, as we hear the word, we do as of the same. Also ask for grace, Lord, to redeem it and not to say things that are necessary. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Holy Spirit, for all you will do in our service today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're in the book of 2 Timothy. We've been in this book for some time now. The last time we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I will read from verses 24 to 26 from the Amplified Bible just to do a brief recap. Let's read. 2 Timothy chapter 2, read from verses 24 to 26 from the Amplified Bible. Paul was instructing his spiritual son Timothy that he should avoid strife. And I explained by the grace of God that it's not only for servants of God, as it was written in the Bible, but for every Christian. Because either you're a man of God or you're a saint of God, strife has deadly consequences upon whoever falls into strife. So let's just read from Amplified Bible. It's self-explanatory. And from verse 24, it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, fighting and contending. Instead, he must be kindly to everyone and mild-tempered." Say mild-tempered. "Preserving the bond of peace. He must be a skilled and suitable teacher, patient and forbearing and willing to suffer wrong." Verse 25. "He must correct his opponents with courtesy and gentleness in the hope that God may grant that they will repent and come to know the truth, that they will perceive and recognize and become accurately acquainted with and acknowledging it." Also, verse 26 says, and that they may come to their senses. Let's read together. "And that they may come to their senses and escape out of the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him, henceforth to do his will." Praise the Lord. You see, we stopped in that verse the last time, and we defined strife as contentious, argumentative words and attitudes. Let's say the contentious, argumentative words and attitudes. Or when you have a grudge in your heart against someone, that is what strife is. When you get to the argument, if you read the preceding verse before the verse we read from verse 23, Paul was telling his son, he said, avoid, you know, things, all these arguments and all that. And one of the examples we then was the example of Stephen, why he died prematurely, because he got into an argument with the scribes and the Pharisees. Praise the Lord. So we need to avoid strife. And like Pastor said in his weekly sermon, he said, strife, how do you know when you're in strife or when somebody's in strife with you? You know, he's always wanting to have the last word, say the last word, make a point, or to win an argument. Anytime you find yourself always wanting to have last word, to win an argument, or to have a last say on a subject, usually you must have entered into strife at that time. And the root of strife, like we said, is pride. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, says, only by pride cometh contention. But with the well advised is wisdom, or with the lowly is what? Wisdom. So anytime you find yourself or two people in strife, you know, that means either one or both of them are walking in pride at that point in time. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to remember. And the last time I spent time talking about Lot, Abraham, and their herdsmen. That was the example God gave us. You know, and I said in that at that time that the first time that the word strife was mentioned in the Bible was when the herdsmen of Lot and Abraham fought. And we took time, we looked at it, you know, and what happened, how it brought about the separation between Lot and Abraham. And we also mentioned at that time that strife can occur in the home, in your workplace, or in the church. And I said, okay, I tied the home and the workplace to the example of Lot and Abraham. Because it was the strife between the herdsmen, which is the type of their workplace, that they brought into the home and brought a separation. But we don't have time to talk about how strife can occur in the church. So I'll start from there by the mercy of God today. So strife, let's do a strife in the church. The example I have is in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 2 and verse 4. When it talks about the church in Jerusalem, when they had just started the church, and there was a murmuring among the widows about, you know, being exempted from serving food and all that. Let me just read this. It's self-explanatory. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was what? Multiplied. There arose a murmuring, of regressions against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. See how Satan crept into the congregation. But at that time, Peter and the others were very, very wise to notice. The Bible, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, "He that meddled with strife, not belonging to me, is like one that holds the dog by the ears." So what will happen? That dog will bite you. So immediately they saw it. You know what Peter did? Peter says something in verse 2. Let me verse 2. It says, "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God to serve tables." Verse 4. "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and toward the ministry of the word." You see, anytime Satan wants to, so to speak, deflate your tire, your spiritual tires, and once your tires, in the natural, if the tires of a car are deflated, the car can't go anywhere. What it does, it looks for a way to enter the congregation or even your life and bring strife. Before you know it, you are trying to have your last word. You know, he said this to me. No, he doesn't have a right to do this. And before you know it, either you are a pastor, either you are a saint, Satan comes and takes you captive. That's a scripture in the book of Isaiah. It says, shall the captive of the lawful be delivered. I follow him. Shall the lawful captive of the mighty be delivered. Thank you. You know, we'll see. And if it's that person that takes you captive, Satan, when you allow yourself to enter into strife. So the second example I have, which pastor shared before a long time ago, is about the Ephesian church. The Ephesian church was a very great church in those days. You know, but initially, you know, that was where in the book of Acts, you know, Acts chapter 19, verses 1, 11, 12, and 20. You know, that was where the Bible says that, "And Paul passed onto the upper coast of Ephesus. And when he got there," if you remember the story, there were only 12 disciples that he met there. And all he did was, it wasn't one that got them born again, but he prayed for them to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says within a space of 2 years, miracles have started occurring. Why? Because the brethren were clever. In fact, the Ephesian church, as we all know, has the highest level of revelation written to the church. That's why you see Ephesians 1, 17, Ephesians 3, being filled with the fullness of God, you know, the old armor of God, Ephesians 6. And we are reading the book of 2 Timothy today. It was the first bishop of the Ephesian church was Timothy. So when it came to a time, I divided into three to make it simple and straightforward. In verse 11, it says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul." Verse 12, it says, "From his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Verse 20 says, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." That was in Ephesus at the onset of this great church. But by the time Paul was going to leave, he sent for them in Miletus, sent for the elders, said, "Come." And he told them, you know, to summarize, he said, "I know that by the time I leave, grievous wolves will come into this congregation, trying to gather men, you know, to themselves." You know, he said a lot. They wept, all of them wept, and then they cried on the shoulders. Bible says they wept because he told them they are not going to see him again. But see, what we are going to talk about today is more than weeping. Weeping will not solve the problem as we continue. Acts chapter 20, verse 29. So after he told them, he left. But to summarize, Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. This same church that they took aprons and handkerchiefs from Paul's body. It was in that same Ephesian church that it talks about the seven sons of Sceva, that they wanted to cast out devils. So you can imagine the amount of power generated in that church on the onset. By the time we got to the book of Revelations, everything Paul said, in fact, the Bible says, you know, in the commentary says, 5 years later, everything came to pass. Why? Because there were divisions. The enemy came in. All the elders are supposed to make sure they kept the unity of the spirit, the bond of peace, were seeking their own, and the enemy came in. By Revelation, just what Sky was telling Ephesian church, he said, if you do not repent, he said, you have left your first love. Say, go and do the first work. Say, or else I will remove your candlestick. He actually removed it, like we all know. Present day, Ephesus today is talking. And as we've been told, over 90% Muslim. What happened? The Lord Jesus Christ removed their candlestick. So darkness entered. So you can see what strife can do. Like I said in passing, I said strife will drain you of what? Of life. Either as an individual or a congregation. It will just split the congregation. That is the exact thing that Satan did in heaven. Brought strife into the situation. He went away and deceived a third of the angels. So God had to what? Send them out. Bible says, cast out this corner. And what contention shall cease. Praise the Lord. So it's very important. So how do we avoid strife and also overcome it? It's one thing to avoid this, another thing to overcome it when I have been caught in it. We avoid this simply by watching and praying always. That you find out in Luke chapter 21, verse 30. The Lord Jesus Christ said, watch ye therefore and pray always, that maybe I can't tell you to escape these things. That's the best thing, is to avoid it. When you see it afar off, just avoid it. Bible says, a wise man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. That is the best thing. Now, but most times, we don't even know. I've done it a lot of times. But what is the way of escape? How do we overcome it? I'll use the example of Job. Because once you get into strife, either somebody has said something to you, they've done something to you, is your hurting and all that. Let's look at what Job did. You know the story of Job? When Job had his problems and his friends came, instead of them to help him and pray for him, they kept on condemning him. But Job, there must be something bad in your life. And I see the same thing happening in the body of Christ today. We are so quick to condemn people. We are so quick to judge people. We are so quick. And the Bible says that don't be many teachers. He said, because you will have the greater condemnation. Because in many things, we offend the word. Are you following me? So, we need to correct this area in our lives. So that when we see, we are members of the same body. I'm not saying we condone sin or people doing wrong. No. But do exactly what we read earlier in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 24. He said, must be willing to suffer wrong. He said, must be courteous, gently correcting. Because if you don't do it that way, you are going to enter something that God doesn't want you to enter. And then you find yourself, Satan takes you captive. Anytime, on my own experience, no matter what is going on, I have a gauge. Anytime light disappears, it doesn't matter. I may be right. But once I read my Bible in the morning and I can't see something for a period of time, I start checking myself. Because it's not so much as whether you are right or wrong. It's your response that God looks at. Papa Raph said this some time ago. He said, God does not see right or wrong. He sees light or darkness. Are you following me? He sees light or darkness. He sees life or death. What did you say? Are you following me? So these are the things we have to watch for. So you are not fighting for your rights again. If they want to have a cook, let them have it. At the end of the day, you see, this is not part of my notes. We will know who is who. When Mary came to the tomb, what happened? He said it was there, it was dark, but yet early. Right now, all of us, we don't know who is actually put on the old armor of God in the body of Christ. Everybody, we are doing the same thing. We are doing it. But one day, the day will dawn. Let me be honest, if this whole place were dark now, you don't know, and maybe we'll be given time to dress up. Spiritually speak, boy, in the natural. You know, you won't see the person that is dressed properly. The person that is walking around naked. Spiritually, you won't know. But if the light will come, boom, all of a sudden. They say, and I didn't know. This guy was a pastor. He used to do this. Why? Because the day will dawn. Bible said the day will declare it. So work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Are you following me? So you avoid it by watching and praying always. Are you following me? He told them at Gethsemane. He said, pray that you enter not into what? Temptation. That means if you don't pray, or you don't pray enough, you are going to enter temptation. When Lord Jesus Christ told them that, that was what he has been doing ever since. Because the Bible says he was tempted in every like as we are, yet without sin. When they got to Gethsemane, he told them, said, you guys, if by reason of time, start learning to watch and pray, at least to the degree you can. But we know the story. They all fell in temptation. Praise the Lord. Now, how do we overcome it when we get into it? Because somehow, I can't, if I say you're not going to get to the strife again, it's a lie. But you see, your turnaround time was very quick. So what do you do? Let's look at what Job did. Job 42 verse 10 is self-explanatory. And the Lord stoned what? We are talking about being taken captive by the enemy. And the Lord what did what? Turned the captivity of Job. When he prayed for what? His friends. And also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So you can see there that when you are in strife, it will affect, put you into captivity. It can affect your health. It can affect your finances. It can, in particular, it will affect the amount of light that you have. The Bible says that he that hated his brother, he said he's in darkness. The darkness that blinded his eyes and does not know where it's going. He starts stumbling at the word. He starts struggling concerning things that he should do. Walking love, all armor of God, all the things. He starts stumbling. He says, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do this? You're beginning to stumble. So you need to check within to make sure you're not in strife. Praise the Lord. So let's read in Message Bible. What it says, Message Bible, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. When we find ourselves in strife or, you know, any kind of situation, Message Bible says, I am telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you. And what is that best in you? The love of God that is shed abroad in your heart. You know, King James says, love them that love your enemies, bless them across you, pray for them that spare you from persecution. But Message Bible says this in a clearer and a better way. It says, I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you. Not the worst. When someone gives you a what? A hard time. Respond with the energies of prayer. For you are walking out of your true, you're walking out your true selves, your God created self, the new creation in you. God wants, is anytime those things happen, what I do now, I say, ah, God, it's time for me to pray. Why? So that the love that is inside can come out. You see, anytime we respond in a negative way, don't say it's the person that caused this. You are not ready to move forward. But I said, nothing from without can defile a man, but that is so. God, and you see, the more God is going to keep on allowing those tests to come until you pass it. You see, it's a compulsory cause. You see, everybody has compulsory causes. Your own compulsory cause, spiritually speaking, might be pride. Maybe this one may be strife. You know, it's always getting to fight. That is the compulsory course that you must pass before you can get a measure of spirit, that measure. Are you with me? So, it's very important. Now, let's move to chapter 3 today. Matthew, sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 3, brief on verses 1 to 5 in the KJV. I will read. So, please follow me. So, this know also that in the last days, perilous times will come. We are already in the perilous times. They are not coming. We are already smack inside perilous times. Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, say fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than what? Lovers of self. Pastor has been preaching to us recently about this, from this particular scripture. He's talking to us about covetousness. You know, Balaam, comparing Balaam with Moses. You know, you would think that he was writing to the church, to the world. No, Paul was writing to the church, talking about the prevailing spiritual condition in the church in the end time. Fierce. I checked the word fierce. It says having or displaying an intense or ferocious aggressiveness. Ferocious. You have you been angry before? It's happened to you before. And your whole body is shaking like this. Oh. These are things we have to deal with. Don't you see? When you hear Balaam did this, don't say it's them. You had better start working on the sin nature in you. I say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Balaam did not start that way. Saul did not start that way. Even David that started well. Look at what happened when he slacked his prayer life. You know why? Because in verse 5, Paul tells us the reason why you see the catalog of things. I can't tell you about 18. That we just read about 18. Lovers of pleasures, lovers of peace, you know, despisers, can you call effeminate, blah, 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 blah. And you sit down there, read this, it's a pity, the world is passing away.
He's talking about Christians. But say, take it to yourself and to the what? Doctrine. So you can save yourself and those that what? Hear you. If not for the mercy of God. So, he gives us the answer. He said, having a form of what? In verse 5, godliness. Having a form of what? Godliness. Having a form of what? Godliness, but denying the power thereof. So the problem that begins to talk about from verses 1 to 4 is because of a lack of the power of godliness. Or let me put it another way. It's because of a lack of sufficient power of godliness. That's the problem. So everything you see that is listed there, if you don't take it to yourself, to some of the things I'm going to be talking about, and the power level starts dropping, if it starts dropping, you can get to a place whereby, God forbid, you will not be a apostle, you can't even deny Christ. You can get to a place whereby you start reasoning, this gate thing is not really anybody. Yes! Why? Because once life starts ebbing out of you, death starts entering. You start thinking that it doesn't matter. You start, and he says something. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He said, from such, turn away. He said, from such, turn away. That is, don't, Bible says, evil communications corrupt good manners. Don't copy people that can see, that have a form. Say form. They look like Christians. They have the outward facade of a Christian. Lord Jesus Christ said, these people, they draw now to me with their mouth. Their heart is far from me. He said, the scribes and Pharisees, they said they watch it outside of the cup, but inside is full of extortion. Dead man's bones. That is, they come to church. They are born again. They pray in tongues occasionally. And for me, they have love feasts. They do all, everything that we do. But the power of godliness is not there. Or it's not there in sufficient measure. Which is the issue I would like to emphasize as we continue today. Everybody prays. But are you praying to generate sufficient measure of the power of godliness to overcome what? The abounding iniquity of this end. That is the issue. It's not just praying. Are you praying enough? You see, you need to begin to watch yourself. There are two, you see, when you're talking about the power of godliness, I'll just mention it ahead of time. It's the power you generate. That is the tithe of your time every day. That is for you. Primarily for you, then, those under the spirit, that is the tithe of time. When you pray, you know, in tongues, with groanings and everything. You see, years ago, they told us something, you know, that your outreach must never be more than your outreach. That is, you are giving out, you are doing this. Look, ministry work is not going to do it. It's not the spirit that measure that Jesus Christ was using to do his morning prayer. Yes, so if it was a spirit that measure, then why would an angel come to strengthen him in the Garden of Gethsemane? The spirit that measure is for people, not for the person that is carrying it. Said, the spirit of Lord God is upon me. I have no time to preach to the gospel to the poor, to the, not for you. Folks, I'm not, by the grace of God, living by what I'm preaching. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but it's not because I come here today. Everything they tell us to do, I do it. I'm not saying I've perfected it too, but I make sure I wake up in the morning. I make sure I pray. I take my confessions. I'm not saying I'm doing it because I recognize that I can have the anointing like Samson. When the anointing departs, you're going to be left with what you have, your tithe, the tithe of your time. Don't allow Satan to begin to eat into that time, no matter what ministry work you are doing. I don't care. It could be Africa prayers. It could be anything. Look, that is, you are giving out. You are giving out. You are giving out. Jesus Christ didn't live by that. Oh, if he finishes ministry to 5,000 people, you know what he will do? Say, I'll see you on the other side. Now go to the mountain to go and pray. That's our pattern. That's our example. Don't begin to mark yourself by this. I did this. I did this. I did this. I did this. Have you paid your tithe? 2.4. 2.5 hours. That is the only way you can be sure that you are doing it. I'm not saying you've perfected it. I'm not saying, not that I'm not saying I'm doing it 100%. What I'm saying is I recognize that that is what is going to keep you. Are you following me? So don't begin to judge yourself by external works. That is the anointing without. It's not going to cut it. Perilous times are here. There's a scripture that comes to mind. Book of Leviticus. He said, when you, the priest shall first of all appear for himself, for his family, and then for the rest of Israel. That's that order. Don't break it. Thank God for good money, just you put on the whole armor of God. Then the other aspect of godliness that I'm going to mention out of time is this. We know not only need godliness to survive the perilous times, we also need godliness in the air. 1 Timothy chapter 2. He said that you pray for kings, for those in authority, that may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all what? Godliness and honesty. So the godliness must first of all start from you. Then it goes. That's why you see, good morning, just they pray those prayers, love prayers. Then they now pray for the nation. Why? Because if the degree of godliness in the air can affect Christians in that nation. So God has to release that power daily. The same way you generate in your spirit to make you live a godly life, you must also read so that you can influence those in authority. So you don't begin to make decrees that will say, okay, no church today. Look at your state, for example. Thank God for prayers. Thank God for our governor. When some people said, nobody can go to church. Our governor said, the first of all started with 50, right? Then they reduced it to 10. That is the power of godliness working from outside. It didn't just happen. As we say, don't go to church. Or make, say things that will hinder you from praying. Or like in some places that you can't even open your mouth to say Jesus. So we need the power of godliness. So Bible says, from such, turn away. I put in my notes, you see, you say, turn away. How do you turn away? It's like, God reminded me of, in biology, you used to talk about osmosis. When a molecule from a lower concentration through a semi-permeable membrane flows into a higher concentration. He says, turn away. Don't say it can't affect me. It will affect you with time. One of the interpretations I gave when I checked the dictionary, it says osmosis. It says it's a gradual unconscious assimilation of ideas, knowledge, and some strange political, and I put religious osmosis. By association, if you start playing with a lukewarm Christian, you start getting lukewarm. By osmosis, you will not know. You just find out that the thing that first drop is of fervency in prayer. I follow him. Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But companion of fools shall be what? Destroy. The destruction of the physical body. If you don't quickly correct it. So, I put in my notes and said that the root problem is a lack of sufficient, I must say sufficient, amount of the power of godliness. That is the problem. That is the problem. So what is godliness? Pastor has taught us, godliness is what? God likeness. Say God likeness. Being like what? God. And God, the Bible says, is love. So it takes power to walk in love. It takes power to do what God will do in every situation and in every situation, every circumstance. So what then is the power of godliness? Pastor defined it. It is the power of God that enables us to be like God in what? Say nature, character, wisdom, and ability. Now, every born-again Christian has the nature of God in their spirit, has the love of God having shed and abroad in their heart. But God doesn't want you to stay there. But majority of Christians have not yet developed the character of God, the wisdom of God, or the ability of God in their souls and in their conduct. And the only way you can do it is by generating sufficient. Say sufficient. That is the issue. That is the issue. If you eat a natural meal, you will know if you are satisfied now. Abi, if you are not satisfied, say, please, can I, Oliver, please ask for more. Are you with me? So if you pray and you still see your flesh reacting, even before you get out of the house, then you know there's a problem. I have to pray more. Let me pray more. If one does is not enough, then do two. That's what Jesus did. He did one. His flesh didn't go. Yeah, he did the second one. Huh? By the time he did the third phase, okay, yes, let's go now. I'm ready. I'm full now. I'm ready. Sufficient. Sufficient. Sufficient is the issue. Lord has told Paul, said, my grace is what? Sufficient for you. Very important. So, that is what we all need to know. And let me see. Help me, Holy Spirit. Let us, Pastor used to say something, I put it down. I don't want to miss my train of thought. And the reason why God gave us the earnest is for us to perfect that love of God. You see, when we get born again, because we read in Acts of Apostles, you know, Acts chapter 1, when the Holy Spirit came down upon them, that they just began to prophesy. Most of us are assuming and thinking that the power of God is given us primarily for signs and wonders. No. Pastor told us, and he says that the primary purpose of God giving us the power of the Holy Spirit is to make us like God, who is love, in our souls and conduct. Don't miss it there. We are going to see examples I'm going to mention as I continue. So 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, according as his divine power had given unto us all things. Say all things. He didn't say some things. All things. All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this you might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. That's why God gave you all things. So it's for godliness. Because the measure of godliness you have will determine the amount of power you carry, and it's going to be the wine skin that can contain the wine or whatever measure of the grace of God you are going to carry. And it goes back to this issue of tightening your time. Or in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 17, he said, you write yourself a copy. Don't allow Satan, for God's sake, to distract you by activity and all these things. Don't. Because it's going to show up. It won't show up in our lives in Jesus' name. So this is the... So I put 2 points to save time. 2 points that we need to understand. This power is dynamic in its working. Let's say this power is dynamic in its working. What do I mean by that? It is not static. It's like if you want to leave your house in the morning and you feel, or you go to petition, you fill the tank of your car and begin to drive. The moment you start the car, even if it's idling, fuel is being used. You see, as we are all sitting down here, even though you are not doing anything, the fact that you are alive, power is coming out of your spirit. Many people don't understand. The Bible says, the body without the spirit is dead. That means the spirit that is giving the power that's making your organs to work, to talk, and all that. So it doesn't matter if you keep quiet. It's just that what is going out is not much. So you can imagine when Christians wake up in the morning and they are trying to start their car. And the car is not starting. Say, Pastor Andrew, please, let me push it. Let's push it to free. It will start. Then everybody push the car. That's like you leaving the house in the morning and you didn't know there was no fuel, or you didn't have enough fuel. And I begin to pump it. Oh yeah, push. Then it does not start. I say, Pastor, are you sure there's fuel in this car? Say, ah, yes, so I bought yesterday. But the gauge is not working. Many Christians, their gauge are not working. Or maybe it's a battery problem. Their heart is not functional. It can't pump sufficient life. But they now check. Don't leave the house with 4 liters of petrol. You know what I mean, Nigeria? Make sure we leave with a full tank. Because you see, the moment you go out, are you following me? The gauge, your spiritual gauge, starts going down. Car going down. Because you are, Paul says, you know, he that openeth his mouth loses his life. Some of the Proverbs. That's why you have to keep on refilling. At every point, you will refill back. See, when you understand this, you take your prayer life as a business. You move a bit, you stop, you fill the tank. You move a bit, you stop, you fill the tank. Before any temptation comes, praise the Lord. So, let me read. It says, the earnest, James chapter 5, verse 16b in Amplified. Said, this power of godliness is dynamic. You can be okay in the morning. 3 minutes later, you can be down. If the level drops, a starting level. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in his what? Working. That is why we need sufficient power at every point in time. You can't afford to allow any situation to distract you. Whether it's a football match or something, that's why you program your time. And then when it beeps, you pray. It's not something, it's not, you're not, when you understand, you're operating a faith principle. You are putting more life. Putting more life in that body. And then the second point I have in my note is because of the problem of the last days. You know, we're talking about last days from what we read. Why is this problem? Iniquity is abound in Matthew chapter 24 verse 12. And the love of many shall wax cold. Once your love starts waxing cold, that means there has been a reduction in the power of godliness you are generating. That love is your response to external stimuli. Somebody does something, say, I can't take this one again. You can't take it again. Say love. It says that love takes no account of you done to it. Then keep taking account. Then something is wrong. And the purpose of the abounding iniquity is targeted at our love. Say iniquity will abound, and the love of many. That is that iniquity. You see, it's from the air. Ephesians 2:2 talks about the prince of the power of the air. That's why I said earlier that we generate the power of godliness for our daily conduct. We also release into atmosphere to counter the abounding iniquity. So I can live a peaceable and God. So the environment is not so too harsh for us to do what God wants to do, like in time of Daniel, when they didn't want him to pray again. Are you with me? So last day's problem. And also because of the residual sin nature that we have in our soul and our body. And the antidote to abounding iniquity, as Pastor has taught over and over, is what? Is abounding grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 20, I read. Say, moreover, let's go. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. Let's scream this together. But where sin abounded, grace, say grace, did much more abound. So we need to learn the technique of how to abound in grace through humility and through the using the exceeding great and precious promises. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. These are not fables. When I was going through this thing, I went through Pastor's weekly remember again. I said, Lord, have mercy. How can we get this message to people to understand? Because the old church is sleeping today. The church is fast asleep. Majority are sleeping. Maybe I'll get to you later. No, Lord, just I told them something in Israel. He said, I would have loved to gather you, Israel. He said, but you missed the day of your visitation. Immediately they left. What's the name of that guy? Titus came in. Ransacked the whole place. What happened to the salt of the earth? So, let's continue. Why do we need the power of godliness? I'll take some time to explain. Why? Because you see, when you know the benefits, then nobody needs to beg you to pray. Nobody needs to beg you to confess the word. You're not going to be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the power of God unto salvation or godliness. So if I'm in the midst of people, I will pray. Not to, I will say, they must not see me. Or like some people when they get to wherever, they will hide Jesus. In the day of abandoning, you put your Bible. You can't bring out your prayer. I'm not saying pray and disturb people. No. But you, say, you don't want to do you're a Christian. Don't you know that, like I said, that life is dropping little by little. So the activity you get involved in, either is a party with your folks and they are not born again. And you are gisting, you are shouting, you are screaming. They are releasing death, if you're not, but you are releasing your life. I say, finally, this starts dropping. It starts dropping. Before you know it, they will play a particular song and you'll be jumping up and down. You won't know. Yes. Abandoning iniquity. But you won't have self-control. No, Paul says something. He said, I keep my body under. So after I preach you order, I will not be a castaway. If you don't keep pumping that thing, like I mentioned the other time, that's what Big Usos used to do. It doesn't matter if it's you are eating. He said, stop! Like I was told, Pastor Shady, let us pray. Because you're going to, if you didn't have another dose of a life for God, problem will occur somewhere. That's what the master did. Those messianic scriptures in Psalm 119. Praise the Lord. So, point number one. Christians that remain in this state of having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, they still come to church, they look okay, are you following me? They have a form of grace and deny the power. What will happen then? God is going to remove them from a church through premature death. Tight, but it is right. John chapter 15 verse 2 says, every branch in me is a branch. Their bread not fruit. It what? Take it away. Say, take it away. That talks about premature death. The best example is that boy, although he repented in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 5 that was having an affair with his stepmother. So every branch, without exception, every branch means every branch that does not bear fruit, he take it away. He said the one that is bearing fruit, he's not saying you are bearing fruit unto perfection yet. But make sure you have something. Yeah, there is fruit. So it doesn't come to that fig tree and then find no fruit. That's a dangerous place to be in this day. Isaiah 57 verse 1 says, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And the merciful men are what? Taken away. That same word. From the evil to come. Because God has seen that what is coming, this guy can't handle it. Bible says, many will depart from the faith in the face of serious persecution. Not just outside the church, within the church, brethren. God sees that. Because he's going to say, but God, why do you allow this to happen to me? Can you imagine what happened to Paul when they stoned him? He could have been offended. But so they stood around him. And then they prayed, he stood up. And then when he went, he came back. And like we were told by Papa Ralph years ago, which is true, that's when they got him. He could have said, this thing I'm not doing again. I can't look. What Mark saw and ran away. So it's very important for us to develop the power of godliness. Very, very important. Because the Bible says, while I was meditating, your mind was praying with all this money, you're mentioning the incident that occurred in Sokoto, the lady that was stoned. A very sad story. Very sad story. Sad. I don't want to go into what happened. What she said, she passed the exams because of Jesus Christ. And they said, if you mention Jesus Christ, if I were her, I would have said, okay, so you want me to fail? I say, okay, because of so, so, and so. And then the whatever, it's a WhatsApp chat too. And then they came, they said they brought me from outside. They took her, beat her, stoned her, burnt her alive. It reminded me of Stephen. And they said he was saying that, well, to what end is it what you are doing as you were stoning her? Hey, to what end? They buried her some hours ago. And as I was meditating, God reminded me of a scripture. Because I was talking about perilous times in the end time. John chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. Jesus Christ had warned them ahead of time. He said that these things I have spoken to you that you should not be what? Offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Did God, is Jesus Christ saying they are going to? No, they didn't put anybody's name there. But see, if you don't learn the power of godliness, how to generate it, to release it, and to receive it, it will be difficult to escape death. I'm not criticizing now. I don't talk about that. I'm just telling us it's an end time phenomenon. We need to be aware. It's happened before. It has happened now. It's still going to happen. The worst is that when brethren take you, the people was brethren that cried Jesus Christ to throw him across the cliff. Bible says he just turned around and he walked in their midst. Number two, it will determine how much of your prophetic destiny you can fulfill. The power of what? Godliness. Say the power of what? Godliness. I want us to put priority on the power of godliness. And not on external works done by the external anointing. For example, God gave me an example of Moses. Acts chapter 7 verse 22. I'll link the scriptures. We know the story. But God used scriptures to bring it to me in a much stronger way. Acts chapter 7 verse 22 says, Moses was mighty what in word and in what? Deed. Look how it happened to Moses. Proverbs 16 verse 32 paints a better picture. It says, Moses was mighty in word and in deed. What does Proverbs 16 verse 32 say? Say, he that is slow to anger is better than the worthy mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. He was going to take the promised land, but he didn't have rule over his city. He didn't have rule over his spirit. He was mighty in word and in deed. But when it came to the time for him to keep his body under, Pastor, they provoked him. Don't let them provoke you. It cost him. Compare him with Lord Jesus Christ. Both of them were facing fulfilling their destiny. Christ, for Jesus Christ, his own was to go and die on the cross. For him, it was to take them to the promised land. Jesus Christ, Pastor, they slapped him. They beat him. Say, he said nothing. The reason why I didn't say anything was because he had spent 3 hours of solid prayer without sleeping. That's why don't cut your morning prayer. If you are doing 1 hour, don't cut it to 30 minutes. It's dangerous. Very dangerous. So, Psalm 106, verse 32. Said, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit. He couldn't keep his spirit under. So that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. Same thing with David. His prayer life dropped as a starting time. This is the most important thing you need to begin to fight every day, not a contract.
No, happen to you. When kings ought to go to battle. You know, it's not, nobody wakes up one day and says, I'm not going to pray again. No, it starts happening when your fervency starts dropping. It starts dropping. Then before you know it, instead of you to pray for, in the spirit for, it starts dropping. It starts reducing a bit. It starts reducing a bit. It's like an osmosis, like it says. Then before you know it, Satan will wait. When he sees it, he will keep quiet. He will leave you. He won't disturb you. You know, in the Bible book of Acts, just along the side, in the book of Acts, it's twice that the south wind blew. Go and check it. The first time, Paul said, I perceive that this journey will be of more time. Let's go. But said, let us go. The south wind blew softly at the wrong time. When the right time came after they survived and they were going, the same Bible says the south wind blew, you know, and they took them to Petuli or something like that. That's what happens when you begin to take much than you can handle, especially prosperity wise. That the prosperity of the fool shall destroy them. You are taking more than your spiritual capacity can handle. In whatever you are doing, being to operate on life deficit, there's no time for it. You know, this slapping issue seems to be the issue now that Satan is using, from the Oscars to Anambra State to where Delta is, you know, just slapping everybody. That one that is happening now, it's Satan, the same devil, the same sin nature. Now the Oscars, this one slapped this one. And where? At the Anambra State skinny, they slapped each other. And then recently, one that, when I saw that thing, I heard the sound. Bah! I don't know whether that guy, I had to, maybe my phone was on, the volume was high. No, it wasn't high. Bah! But you see, the man kept quiet. He did not move. He didn't flinch. He said, I'm so-and-so. People said, what do you think you are? What do you think you are? What do you think you are? When I watched it, I said, Lord, yeah. No, for some minutes, I was like, God, not only slaps, I would have said, yes, who are you? I said, I'm he. Then he fall down. You know what? I would like to get up for the next 25 days. I'll just walk away. But, you know, I don't know whether the man is a Christian or a priest. Or maybe it's the guns they were carrying that made him keep quiet. You know, because when you see somebody, let me just keep quiet. But you see where God wants us to get to. Pastor is teaching us something about the Beatitudes. Just like I said, when they slap you on the right side, they turn the other cheek. That slap could be physical. It could be symbolic. That's where we are going to. I will respond in love. Not because they are carrying guns. I know that these ones, if I talk, they will shoot me. No. Just your nature, like Christ did. The second point I have is this. Third point, rather. Is that it will determine how much you can prosper. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. But as a godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of a life that now is, and of that which is to come. Point number 4. It will determine the measure of a spirit without measure that you can carry, and your eternal reward in terms of the magnitude or the glory that you will have at the resurrection of just. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 41 says that one star different from another star in glory. Pastor has taught us. He says that whatever a man sweats, so shall he reap. What are you sowing? Are you sowing to your flesh in terms of giving life to this body? Are you just giving life out? Giving life out, operating a life deficit every day. He said, whosoever sows to himself, he sowed to the spirit, shall reap life eternal. Pastor has taught us about the order of regulation. It's timing your order and the magnitude of your glory. Daniel says, those that be wise, they will shine like the firmaments of heaven. That's the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. What makes you react when something that is offensive happens to you in a negative way is because you didn't have enough oil in your vessel that day. You had in your lamp, in your spirit, but you didn't have enough in your vessel. It's dynamic. And the test will keep on coming until you pass it. If it's anger that is your problem, God keep on allowing, because he loves you. So keep on taking that GCE. In those days, you people struggle to do maths and English. If you don't have maths and English, they won't take you. So you keep on doing it until you pass it. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I mentioned this scripture. I said, Paul said, I keep my body under. So after I preach that, I will not be a castaway. That means it's possible after all the ministry work he did.
Point number five. It will also determine how much protection you can enjoy. Let's look at Daniel as begin to round up because of time. I picked up the next time. I put it as Daniel and the law of his God. This is a type of obeying daily the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which is law of life and love. Let's read Daniel chapter 6, verse 5. It's an Old Testament example of somebody that was praying always in a very toxic environment in Babylon. Do you know what that guy did? You know, he just came to me now. I just said, God just put up my hand. Before Nebuchadnezzar woke up, Daniel had prayed and bound that spirit. So anytime he stood before him, you see what Esther did. And they stretched the golden scepter toward Esther. Daniel did it every morning. So by the time he just came to me, as he stands before Nebuchadnezzar, you will have favor. That's what you need to do. In your home, if you have a wife or your husband that is cantankerous, pray. If you have at workplace, pray. Anywhere. And also in the nation. That's what Daniel did. So the guy begins to wave. Just look at Daniel. He will look at others that didn't pray. You say, go and kill them. Those that pray. Say, oh, Daniel, beloved of the Lord, what do you want this morning? Daniel will bring everything. And then the Baghdad will sign. And then he will go out. They will say, Daniel, how come? Nebuchadnezzar gave you permission to do this. And you say, what? It is the law of my God. So they discovered that the secret to Daniel's success in the kingdom of Babylon was his prayer life. So Daniel chapter 6, verse 5. Then said this man, we shall not find any occasion. Say, find any occasion against this word, Daniel, except you find it against him concerning the law of his God. So Satan pointed to it. That is the powerhouse. And you know this story. They said you shouldn't pray again. But I said, when Daniel saw that a decree had been made, he said, as was his custom, he opened his windows towards the east and he prayed three times, as was his custom. He did not allow the decree. He did not allow anything. It could be anything, folks. I want to see today. To stop him from praying as was his custom. Nothing must disturb you. That's why your eyes must be open. Talking about the guy that, I don't mean to be, I don't want to go there again, but I gave, you remember when I mentioned it, but when he wanted to make Jesus Christ king, he ran away. Learn to run away from things that would drain you spiritually. Run away. Don't do things because of money. Because it's going to weaken you gradually. Satan is very bad. He knows what to do. It's like that generator out there. We have a 250 generator by the grace of God. They have written his capacity there. Every Christian has a capacity, captain of 10, of 20, of 50, of 100, of 1,000. Know your capacity. So when they start putting load on that generator, are you with me? It will get to a point, maximum load. Then you see the needle will be going like this. Brr, 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 brr. Not because there's no life inside, though. But you keep on adding more, what will happen? You just always go that way. Brr, brr. Check the load you are carrying. That's what almost killed Moses. He took on an assignment that God did not give him. He was counseling people. Morning to night. The question I want to ask is this. Didn't God tell him? We don't have it written in the scriptures, but God must have told him. God must have told him. But when he will not speak it, I say, God speaks twice. Once, twice. Man perceived it. Moses did not perceive it. So he now sent an external person, an unbeliever, so to speak. Thank God he was meek enough to receive it. I won't go to the how today. The same thing happened to late Papa Hagen. If you know of his books, Plans, Pursuits, and Purposes, something like that. He said, when I read Papa Hagen, then God now referred me to the story of Moses. That is exactly what happened. He said, when the mystery was booming, everything was okay. He said, he opened the counseling section. Go and read this book. Some of us have read that book before. Are you with me? So he started counseling people. So people who come from different churches to come and see Moses, the great man of God. Papa Hagen. He said, somehow inside him, he felt something was wrong. He had this inward witness. He said, but he wasn't sure. So he set some, he said he set some time to pray. And he didn't get the answer the first day. He said every afternoon he would skip a minute, he would pray. So after praying for some time, then one day he was walking to, I think, Rema Training Center. And then he looked up. He saw this signpost that said counseling section. The God now spoke to him and said, I didn't tell you to do this. Can you imagine? He was a very humble man. If it was some of us, we'll keep on hitting the wood without the axe head. Because what will people say? You know what you did? He said, God now told him. When he said what Lord Christ told him, it looked so simple. He said, Lord Josiah told him and said, let everybody, maybe they have pastors, let their pastors counsel them. What did you come back to say? You are in this church. You don't come to pastor money for counseling. Now go to another church. Is that as why they have their shepherds? Because they will give account for their souls. He said, occasionally you can counsel people. Don't open it for everybody to come. Because you are only responsible for the flock that God has given you. So when he saw it, immediately he closed the counseling session down. So the question is, as you stand up to pray, what is hindering us from generating a sufficient amount of the power of godliness? Everybody should look inwards and begin to. This is way. I'm not saying leave your job. Some people are looking for excuse to run away. They say they have, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. Hold fast to that 2.5 hours every day. That's where you start from. When you do that diligently, wake up in the morning, join Good Morning Jesus. By the time you do 2 faces, and you now read your Bible, and you take your confessions, already done 2.5 hours. That is why God opened that avenue for people. Like I said, to dunk every one of us, including me, before it comes to inspect. It's coming to inspect, though. It's coming to inspect. So next, let's stand to our feet. Next week, not next week, whenever God allows me, we're going to look at the how to generate, to release, and to receive it. That is your business every day. When Jesus Christ, at the age of 12, he said, I must go about my Father's business. You know, if they had not taken him back, the Pharisees and scribes would have killed him. The question I want to ask is this. When was it at the age of 30 that they started selling doves? No. But you know, the master just kept quiet. He saw them misbehaving. Learned to be quiet. Jesus Christ was just watching them. The scribes and Pharisees misbehaving. He didn't talk. Why? Because he didn't have the power at that time. Let us pray.